pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
And welcome to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Friday. It's finally Friday morning. Text line, you want to be in touch with the show, 251-343-0106 is how we communicate on the program. Coming up on the program about 30 minutes from now, Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, making his Friday appearance. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, as we always do, our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott. So please make sure you stay tuned for that. Like I said, it could be wide open, the mid portion of the program. So text message 251-343-0106 once again there if you want to participate in what's going on. But joining us now, we're going to lead off here with she is the Republican nominee in the 2nd Congressional District here in our part of the state. Carolee Dobson joins us on the line. Carolee, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thank you for coming on. We do appreciate it. So a few things to get to here. Let's start here. I mean, since the last time we talked, which has been a few weeks, probably been the most chaotic time in American politics in a long time. But, you're watching the ebbs and flows of your own campaign, and I'm sure, like, knowing how that's going, I mean, I'm sure it's impacting yours as well. What are you hearing out there? More people starting to really, I would assume, really tune in now for real.
Yes. Now, I mean, to the extent that a person's been apathetic, I think, you can no longer be just given the events of the past 4 weeks. I was speaking to a Republican group that I spoke to last month, and I realized that the last time I'd spoken to them was before the debate. So, I mean, the debate was a month ago last night. So you just think about all the events that have transpired. It's really, really monumental. But we have, for our part, have just been blown away by the enthusiasm and the generosity, and the excitement of folks in District 2, to keep this seat red, obviously to get President Trump back in the White House, to flip the Senate, but also to increase our majority in the House. We've got to have all three, to truly make our country strong again. And that enthusiasm is not just, ephemeral. We're able to actually outraise Shabari figures in the second quarter by about 50,000. And we were only one of Republican non-incumbent campaigns in the whole country looking at all the congressional districts to do that. So, and that's a lot of, we've had a few donors with deep pockets, but mostly it's folks throughout the district that are giving what they can. We've got a lot of donors. And you also look at Shamari figures, PAC contributions. The majority of his fundraising was from political action committees, and 97% of those that donated to him are in the greater D.C. area. So again, I think that's indicative of where his support comes from, where the excitement about his race is in comparison to ours, and I think that's really going to translate on November 5th as far as who's showing up to vote for their candidate in District 2.
I mean, that's remarkable that very little of his resources are coming from in-state contributions. They're all out of state, it seems.
Yeah, I know. And again, I mean, I think that fits with his bio, I mean, he's an accomplished young person, but his entire career has been spent in Washington. His entire adult life has been in Washington. Obama administration, then Sherrod Brown, then obviously Deputy to Merrick Garland. He was also part of Biden's transition team, which I think is also very, very important and something we shouldn't ignore. He looked, as a member of Biden's transition team, he was there on the ground floor in Biden's first 100 days in office. Well, what happened then? Let's see, we opened the border and stopped implementing the stay in Mexico policy under also Border Czar Harris. which has obviously had catastrophic impacts on the daily lives of every American. And then another thing Biden did in the first 100 days was shut down the Keystone Pipeline and take the first steps toward abolishing our American energy independence, which, again, has had a direct impact on the prices that you and I pay, not only at the gas pump, but for our groceries and virtually, you know, any commodity that we're paying for these days. Energy prices have gone up 38% since Biden took office, and a lot of that is attributable to what took place in his first 100 days, in which my opponent, Shamari Figures, was, you know, what was part of that decision-making process of the transition team. So, you know, if you want more of the same, then certainly vote for Shamari Figures. But if you want a change, if you want more opportunities for your kids, safer communities for your kids, then you should vote for me and for Donald Trump on November 5th.
Well, and the thing about your opponent here is, I mean, like, he's not really running on, like, any policy, substantive policy discussions at all. I mean, just he's a guy with the Democrat label, seems to be the claim to fame here. But, he wouldn't really weigh in on the Biden-Harris thing. And then as soon as Harris is named a nominee, I mean, he's got all over his website pictures of him and her together. I haven't heard him talk any about what's going on now with the Bibi Netanyahu there in Washington, D.C., and the Israel question. He just seems to be kind of a guy running just because of the demographics of the district and not really on anything.
Yeah, I know. And again, I think, again, that's kind of reflective of this run being a career move for him. Just being truthful, that's a motivator for a lot of politicians that we have, unfortunately, and that's why our country's in the position it is, because we have Washington insiders more concerned about their careers and the special interest groups that back them than they are about the future of the country, the kind of country we're leaving to our kids, and the ability of parents and families to actually raise those children in a way that they see fitting. We've got to give, when it comes to education, got to give control back to the parents. In Alabama, we've made a huge step towards that with the CHOOSE Act this past legislative session. But on a national level, we have got to once again put parents in the driver's seat when it comes to empowering their children to succeed, giving them the skill set and equipping them to have careers that are going to allow them to achieve the American dream. I mean, you and I, we each have two young kids. We each have a set of two young kids. And I know you also, like I do, want to raise my kids in a world where hard work is rewarded. But, you know, under the Biden administration and certainly under a Harris administration, that's not what they want. They want to ensure equality of outcome rather than equality of opportunity.
Well, it's this whole push for equity, right? Like that, it's this attack on meritocracy, that hard work and the just a good old fashioned American way is not fair, or it's not right. That and this idea, instead of like your freedom and your individual liberties and the individual, they're focused on sort of a collective outcome for people.
Yes, absolutely. And I think, I mean, again, that paradigm is, you can trace it to the roots of Marxism that certainly was on the rise in college campuses in the 60s and 70s, and we see the outcome of that today on our college campuses now. I think Kamala Harris's father was a, you know, well-known Marxist professor. But, you know, when you're trying to ensure equality of outcome rather than equality of opportunity, and to be clear, I'm all for equality of opportunity. You know, we've got to ensure that everyone has a fair chance. But when you talk about equity in the way that the far left wants to talk about it, it shows kind of the lack of really a Christian faith, too, because, you know, you and I know, you know, part of being a Christian, the Bible tells us, you know, there is no a quality of outcome for Christians on earth. You know, and some of the best people I know have been faced with hardships. We're all faced with hardships, and you can't control your destiny. You could work hard and be a good God-fearing person, and still, you know, bad things can happen. Look at the book of Job. So I think it even on a deeper level, you know, it shows how far we've gotten away from the faith of our fathers when we're trying to engineer results, because that's not reality. And again, you know, I, as a Christian, I know that, you know, we're not guaranteed certain things in life. We've got to work hard and pray hard and know that, you know, we may face adversity, but that's where our faith comes in.
Joined by Carolyn Dobson here on the program. She's running in the 2nd Congressional District. I guess Shamari figures for that House seat, this newly drawn district. And it gets back to this. I mean, your opponent, I think maybe this is what he believes. Maybe it isn't. I don't really know. It's like you said, this is a career move for him. But there's no question, like, I think if he is elected to D.C., that's who he's going to caucus with. Whatever the mainstream of the Democratic Party, which is drifting further and further to the left, is probably what you're going to wind up with should he be elected. And is that what you know, for all this discussion that, hey, he could be like an Arthur Davis or some other Democrat that kind of ran a little more moderate, I don't think that's possible in today's environment.
No. I think I think every Democrat is being forced to toe the party line. I mean, we saw, recently, obviously, with Elise Stefanik's House resolution condemning Kamala Harris's job as border czar, you saw a few Democrats break rank, and then they were immediately, characterized by their fellow Democrat colleagues is just they just voted for that resolution to appease their constituency in a tough re-election year. It's so lockstep with the Democrats, and again, I think that's even more so with Shamari figures by being part of the Biden administration, and therefore, you know, signaling or trying to bolster Biden's competency to the American public. He's already shown that he cares more about ensuring his job security than he does about being truthful with the American people or fighting for what's best for the American people, and certainly for the folks of District 2. I think there is an issue of trust with everyone who's been part of the Biden administration, from Shamari figures to Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris, even just a few weeks ago, was telling us that the president was absolutely capable of doing the job. And then, you know, the events of this past week in conjunction with the debate showed that he actually isn't. So I think you've got to also consider who's going to be fighting for Alabama families. Look, I'm optimistic. I truly believe that we can turn this country around. We can make America strong again, but it's going to take people who are willing to advocate for the hardworking, God-fearing folks of District 2. And I'm running to fight for all Alabama families, rural, urban, Republican, Democrat, black, white, rich, poor, because all of us have been impacted adversely by the Biden administration. And if we don't get control of our country, reduce spending, curb inflation, secure our border, strengthen our military, then we're not going to have a country left to leave to our kids.
We'll get you out of here on this. Folks want to find out more on your campaign, how to get in touch, or however they can help, especially as we get into the home stretch here. How can they do so?
Yes, no, any and all help is appreciated. Obviously, financial support is appreciated, but so also is word of mouth. We're going to have some door knocking campaigns, phone banking. We also have a form for you to fill out if you'd like a yard sign. You can get you a yard sign. That also has a huge impact. Our website is DobsonForCongress.com. That's D-O-B as in Bravo, S-O-N-F-O-R, Congress.com. You can also find us on X, Truth Social, Facebook, and Instagram, Dobson for Congress.
Carolee, best of luck to you. We'll get you out of here soon. Thanks for coming on this morning.
Thank you so much. Have a good weekend.
All right. Carolee Dobson running in AL2. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.